You're listening to The Doug Gottlieb Show with guest host Damon Amendolara.
What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to Geico.com 15 minutes ago. Of course, Major League Baseball's All-Star Game is in Cincinnati. And one of the true living legends of Major League Baseball, Hall of Famer, he played his entire career with the Cincinnati Reds, joining us here on the show. And Hunt Auctions is holding a live sports memorabilia auction of the T-Mobile All-Star Fan Fest, featuring a collection of his sports memorabilia. Johnny Bench joins us here on CBS Sports Radio and simulcast on TV on the CBS Sports Network. Johnny, how are you?
I am doing wonderful, Damon. I just got back from the Fan Fest. Went over to look at some of the auction items and say hello to David. But I got to go through. There's three floors with our convention center here that, you know, they like to have it spread out all over the world, about three blocks, but this happens to be on three floors. And I thought it was just fabulous. I thought it really worked well. And so much fun stuff, so many fans there. I really, really enjoyed it. I mean, just to get to walk through it. When you're playing the All-Star games, I mean, none of this stuff you never get to see. You never get to see what they present, all the different companies that are represented, all the different batting practice and throwing and skills, and then just stepping back in history and looking at some of the memorabilia from the Negro Leagues, from the 1930s and 40s uniforms. So, and Hall of Fame has put stuff in there. So, I mean, it really was a fun day. I mean, I'm a huge baseball fan anyway, but this was a lot of fun day, man. And for anybody that may not even be able to go to the game itself or the Home Run Derby, this is a great opportunity for them to walk through and just, I mean, it's almost like Disney World for you.
Yeah, I've had the chance to go to Fan Fest before around the All-Star Game, and you're right, it is just awesome. There's just so much to take in. It takes an entire day to do it. And when you were playing for the Reds, the national spotlight was on you guys because of the big red machine and playing in October and winning championships all the time. But now the spotlight is back on Cincinnati. How cool is it for that city to have the national spotlight back on it?
Oh, you can just tell. I just hope the weather holds up. I mean, we've had rainy days every day, but it doesn't seem to dampen a lot of the spirit. I can hear a concert playing at Fifth Third at the Fountain Square. And I mean, all of these things are just so much fun. And you'd just like to have some nice sunshine days for all these people that have made the trip and made the effort to be here. But, 1988 was the last one here. They put on a great show then, but now with the experience behind them and the Castellini family, the owners of the Reds, making every effort to make this the best ever, you can tell that it is a first-class and fun event.
Johnny Bench joins us here on CBS Sports Radio and the CBS Sports Network. You got called up by the Reds in 67. By the time you guys are into the 70s, you guys are the big red machine. But when is the moment that you're looking around going, you know what, we're going to be really good around here?
Well, actually, in 1970, we won 70 of our first 100 games before our pitching day. You know, every arm seemed to break at the same time, I think. And in fact, when we played the Orioles in 70, our number one starter was our fifth number five starter during the season. So, and we had guys coming out of the bullpen to pitch. So, but you knew at that time. But then the trade was made with Houston, and then we wound up getting Jack Billingham. We got a guy named Joe Morgan. We got Cesar Geronimo, a gold glover in center field, and he had 300 batting eighth, and we had Dennis Meinke, and it was just, you know, Joe's ability really made these things turn around for us. It was just, it was just all of a sudden that we were such a new dimensional team with his speed and his power and his defense, and we started moving some people around in the lineup. Pete was playing at third base later on, and then George Foster came. And I mean, it became just such a thing where we knew we were going to win, they knew we were going to win, and we knew that they knew we were going to win. So it was such a great time. And, you know, it was a labor of love to go to that ballpark and just see the quality of people and how great they were, and just knowing that, you know, you were in a position to win every night. There's nothing, there's no feeling like being able to win every night.
There is such a physical toll that playing behind the plate takes, and you did that for so many years. It's amazing that you actually were able to get 17 years because so many catchers can't even make it, you know, past a decade or so. What was it like in the 70s when you play on so much artificial turf and you're playing behind the plate and it's such a physical game back there? Try to do that day in, day out.
Well, Damon, in 1968, my rookie year, I wasn't a starting catcher the first four games, and then Don Pavletic was, and he pulled a hamstring in the fifth game. I caught 154 out of the 158 games, and I caught 54 days in a row without a day off. So, you know, I was the last one off the plane at 20 years old. I mean, I could barely straighten up. There were days when you just didn't think it was possible to go, but I did. And, you know, it was just what players did, I guess, in those days. I mean, you'd pull a hamstring or a groin and you'd put hot stuff on it and to wrap it up, and it was all better in 3 or 4 days. I don't know what kind of medicine they use today for the 6 weeks off for the hamstring pull, but it did take its toll. You know, I caught 100 games 13 consecutive years, and people say, well, this guy's going to be the next one, next Johnny Bench, and I'd say, you know, you better wait about 6 or 7 years, because it does. It takes, I mean, we saw what happened to Joe Mauer. He had to go to first base. We've seen what happened to a lot of guys. And it is. It's very demanding. And I got out of it with only 17 broken bones and 7 broken cups. And I guess I was able to survive with that. But when you squat 500,000 times, and I had lung surgery 4 days after I turned 25. They cut up part of my lung, and I had shoulder surgery, but that was the game of baseball in those days, and I'm sure it would be a lot different for me now. But at the same time, we were such a competitive team that nobody wanted to be out of the lineup.
Johnny Bench, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio and the CBS Sports Network. Well, speaking of competitive, you mentioned Pete Rose, of course. What was your reaction when the story came out a couple of weeks ago about him betting while he was still an active player/manager?
I don't think it was much new. I mean, it's almost just like, okay. And everybody kind of knew that anyway, so it wasn't much of a change. And whether it affects the commissioner or anybody else, I don't know. I haven't seen much of a fallout, so I think everything is just right now is, you know, depending on what the commissioner does. And, you know, the commissioner has and Bud had the job, and Bud had an opportunity, and you have to remember there are 11 guys on the suspended list. So, I mean, how do you choose which one you actually address first, or second, or third, or fourth? So it's what it has been for many years.
You know, Pete is such a polarizing guy, but you guys played with him, and he's excited to be around Cincinnati this weekend, I'm sure, to catch up with a lot of you guys. When you catch up with former teammates and with Pete, how is the relationship between him and all you guys?
Well, it never changes. It's still... He was part of our team, part of our history. He was part of everything. He's a funny guy. And we were business partners together in the car business, and we were in the bowling alley business. And so, I mean, we've been friends for a long time. And yeah, you can be disappointed in somebody. And you still, you know, it's not like something that you don't, you know, say polarizing. Yes, I mean, but it doesn't change, you know, what we do. I mean, we still have a still deep appreciation for what we did and how we did it and how we did it together and how each of us had contributed to winning 2 world championships. So that's a pretty good thing to be in.
Somebody once asked me how I thought that his teammates liked him because he was a gruff guy to opponents and always wanted to fight.
No, not to us.
No, but for you guys, yeah, he was. You guys got along with him.
Oh, gotcha. I mean, everything was great. I mean, he was somebody we could rely on to do all of, because when the reporters came in, they could go to Pete for all the quotes. So we didn't have to deal with it, which, you know, Morgan and I used to sit there and look at each other and smile at each other saying, hey, we don't have to deal with these guys because they're all, you know, the story is, you know, people give them a story. And he was much better at giving them stories because, you know, he saw the whole game and did everything and was involved in it. And so we'd never had a problem with any of that. We never had any. There was really no egos. We knew exactly who we were, how we did it, why we did it. And we really were the best of friends, all of us, throughout that clubhouse. And we tried to maintain that.
You played in 14 All-Star games. And when you played, it mattered. I mean, you guys wanted to beat the AL and they wanted to beat you. Now, there's this kind of contrived, hey, let's make it count by making Game 7 of the World Series factor into it. How do you like this game actually counting for something?
Well, it got away from everything. You know, guys were only playing an inning or two and then getting dressed, getting in their jets and going home.
Yeah.
You know, we were going to be there. We didn't have, you know, we had to wait on the next commercial flight to get there on Wednesday morning early because we played on Thursday. So we were just trying to, you know, yeah, it meant something. We had great pride. Warren Giles was the president of the National League when I played, and he wanted to beat the hell out of them, and he'd give us a pep talk. And, you know, we had so much pride anyway. We wanted to beat them. I think out of the 14-0, I think we won 11 and lost 3 out of those games. So it was you know, pretty amazing. And then American League went to the big power hitters, and they were never deal. But they had a different brand going then. They knew the designated hitter. They wanted to see home runs. They wanted to see so many things. So it meant a lot. It meant a lot of pride, and I think it still does to a lot of guys. But, you know, now with so many people and so many voting, the way the voting is, that some managers want guys to get a day, you know, get only a few innings in because, let's face it, they've been playing hard all year. They need a little bit of rest, but at the same time, let's get all the – it's a show. I mean, you know, it's a show for the fans to see all of the players that are all-stars and give them a chance to play. And – yeah, we'd like to see Willie Mays play 9 innings, but at the same time, I'd like to see Mike Trout play 9 innings. So, but there's guys out there that you feel like, you know, deserve the chance to play. And I like the way the managers have handled it to a certain degree, but it is important to win, and they're going to manage this way. They're going to have to say, well, okay, these are the way the rules are going to be, then I'm going to have to manage it to win this ballgame because it can make a difference in the seventh game of the World Series.
Hunt Auctions is holding a live sports memorabilia auction, T-Mobile All-Star Fan Fest, Cincinnati, featuring a collection of your memorabilia, and the collection is actually going to have proceeds that will benefit the Johnny Bench Scholarship Fund. This is so great. What type of sports memorabilia you guys got over there?
Well, I've got a Leroy Neiman that he painted of me in 1989, and we've got game-used bats, we've got uniforms, we've got shoes, we've got pictures, we've got... it's just quite an assortment. I indeed just go to huntauctions.com and see the list yourself. And the auction, I believe, is Tuesday morning. And, you know, there you can bid online and do it. And I've got 84 kids on scholarship this year. And we've maintained that. We started in 1984 with $25,000. And we've got about $1.7 million or $2 million. In the fund, and every year we give out about 80 to 84 scholarships, up to 100 at one couple of years, for kids in Cincinnati and kids in my hometown in Bingo, Oklahoma, that we've given them an opportunity to help them through their college education. And as a result, it's quite rewarding to see some of these kids that now have kids that are on my scholarship fund that have received a scholarship. So it's come full circle.
T-Mobile All-Star Fan Fest, Hunt Auctions. Go to huntauctions.com to check out the full list of the memorabilia. And again, proceeds benefiting the Johnny Bench Scholarship Fund. It is going to be an amazing weekend at Cincinnati and a great game, I'm sure. Johnny, it is so good to finally have you here on the show.
Thank you, Damon.
Yeah, I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you.